One of my favorite holiday movies is the classic Home Alone. I've seen it many times, but I find that the older I get, the less enjoyment I glean from watching two older men hurt themselves over and over again. Last November, after a sim session, Cody, Eric, and I were shooting the breeze in Eric's garage talking about gosh knows what. As we were talking, Eric was casually and nonchalantly kicking the little red handle that dangles down from his garage door opener. I commented to him that I was impressed by his flexibility and prowess, and that it was impressive that he was able to kick it over and over again. He looked me straight in the face and said, "Eh, you could do that." And I said, no, I am older and less flexible than I used to be. If I try and kick that, I'm just going to hurt myself. And then Cody chimed in and said, "No, you could totally do that. See, watch this." And then Cody stepped up and, seemingly without effort, proceeded to kick the little handle that hangs down from the garage door opener. A dark recess of my mind activated and said, "Surely, if Cody can kick this handle, I can still do it. I still have it in me." I took one extra step, kicked with my right foot as hard as I could, and I am pleased to announce that I did kick the red handle with no difficulty. Unfortunately, my left foot also left the ground in very dramatic fashion. I flew through the air and thought, as I was about to slam into the concrete floor, that I must look exactly like those two idiots in Home Alone. I smashed into the concrete flat on my back, and as I writhed on the ground in pain, my two caring, nurturing best friends could do nothing but laugh their heads off at my agony. It has been over a year since that incident, and I still cannot sit in a chair for any length of time without experiencing significant prolonged pain in my tailbone. My feelings for the game of golf are not unlike my feelings in my damaged posterior. Tender and sometimes painful. This is For the Record.
Golf. The hardest game we love to play. These are the ramblings of three nerdy golfers.
Our continuing mission? Explore strange new swing techniques to seek out lower handicaps and awesome golf courses.
And to boldly swing where a safe layup would have been the smarter choice. Well, we're excited to be here on another episode of For the Record, and we have quite a few things to talk about. So the episodes are dropping a little bit fewer and far between during this off season.
Yeah.
And that gives us just there's not as much golf to report on. Yes, we have the sim. We talked about that last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to hit on our exercise goals, and it is right around the holidays for us. So I figured that we could have a little holiday fun. Talk about some things around the holidays, and of course, a talk nerdy to me. And I don't know how I feel about this. It is our final birdie bev of the year.
Oh, I thought I'd kick us off with a nice note. So you might notice the birdie bev that we have selected today is an old favorite. We've tried this one before, but that
have
was
we?
Before. Oh yes, we did that before we did the ratings.
We've
had this before. Okay.
Well. Spoilers, non-spoilers, they'll have to find out what it is when we get to that segment of the show. But to kick us off, we have some updates to the studio in which we record the podcast. John Paul, I feel like you have done a significant amount of work here. Why don't you
tell us a little
bit about it?
Well, none of the rest of us did
it.
Anything, so he did all the work.
That's not true. That's not true.
I showed up.
Yeah. Cody sent me a text saying, "Hey, we should do something like this."
I helped move the tables.
And then Eric mocked up some measurements, and I'm a maker. I like making things, but I do woodworking and metalworking and all kinds of things, and so set about building some new desks, and then Eric and Cody came up with a brilliant idea of covering in vinyl.
I think that was mostly Eric.
That was mine.
If you look at the vinyl color coding, you should be getting some strong Starfleet vibes off of this. This is like a deep burgundy. It's like command red almost with black vinyl.
OG Star Trek, right?
OG Star Trek console, but it's still
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Picard when I'm looking at him. You know.
Okay.
It's a little bit of all of them. They have that same color scheme going throughout, so it's classic.
If I were the captain, I would want this color on my seat.
Yeah. I like the layout a little bit as well. For our audio listeners, we kind of have three trapezoids that are kind of joined together, so we're kind of in a arc a little bit.
Yeah.
But I've got Eric to the left of me, and I've got John Paul to the right, and it's a good thing that I'm not Nick Fury, because I would have to, like, turn my entire body to make this work.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it works out pretty good, and when we have guests that come to visit our podcast, and we do from time to time, we've got deployable wings on the side that we can flip up and add some extra desk space, so... Should be a nice new layout.
Our three-segment trapezoid can go into four or five.
It can.
It is a transformer.
It is. It is. And Eric's done a wonderful job rearranging the room with some nerdy Ackerman, my favorite piece of which is lightsabers mounted to the wall.
That we made ourselves by hand, put them on a lathe, the whole shebang.
Do you know why, Eric?
Do I know why?
Yeah.
I was there. I know why.
But do you know why we did it instead of just buying them?
Because that's what a true Jedi does.
You got it. A true Jedi builds their own lightsaber.
Also, it was significantly cheaper.
At the time, fair disclosure, the aluminum was way more expensive than you guys think it was. But why red?
Because I am a... No. It just... When I tried the... I tried a few different colors, and that was the one that seemed to stand out the most, and so I felt like it was a good one. We already have a blue and a yellowish with the... Cody gave me a... If you've ever played Final Fantasy IX, one of the mages is Vivi, so he gave me a little mage light, and that gave us some color, so I wanted a few different colors.
No, it's good. It's good. For those who are longtime listeners of your podcast, though, you may want to cast your mind back to our Star Wars episode where you and I had a heated discussion about
red lightsabers
and me arguing that they had to be red and you arguing that they did not. And ironically,
I think I was the one,
put up red lightsabers.
I think I was the one arguing that they were not because I was running the little game that we played. And... You know, it kind of depends on what you're going with, because apparently, as canon, a kyber crystal that's been
corrupted,
you know,
yes.
It will turn red, and I guess
doused in your fury,
there's some cleansing
hate.
That can happen to make them other colors, and
yeah.
I don't know, but I'm liking the vibe of the room.
Oh,
good job to both of you, and I'm just glad to sit here and enjoy it.
Yep, it's very cool. To be clear, too, I don't mind red lightsabers, but I am not dark side material. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us really would be. One thing that we are lacking, and listeners, if you have some input, we need a good, comfortable chair that looks good in our space. So anybody that has some suggestions, we're not millionaires, so some of those chairs are like over... $1,000. We can't do that. Even the 100, over 100, keep it below 100, and we'll take a look.
If anybody knows a high quality office chair that's sub $100, we would love the link, because
that would be awesome. See, I've spent significantly more on my office chair that I use as my daily driver, but I was telling Eric, I sit in that thing every day.
Yeah,
this is a thing we do on the side. We don't need a super expensive chair here, but we want something a little bit better than the folding chairs that we're sitting on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do the job, but we'd like something better.
They'll work for today.
The padding is lacking.
Yes. My delicate tushy is unhappy.
Your unhealed tailbone?
It's not broken. It was never broken, apparently. They x-rayed it. They said it's not broken. I don't know how something that's not broken can hurt that much for that long, but very tender. Very tender.
Well, let's kick off today's episode and talk about our Exercise Minute Roundup. That's a terrible title for a segment, but I just wanted to talk about...
Get along, little sit-ups. Get along.
Last episode, we had said we need to keep track of how many minutes of exercise we did, because during the off-season, that's where we're going to do all the exercise, and that's how we're gauging kind of our three-option trip for 2026. So... I looked at my minutes. Have you guys done that at all?
Yeah. I've put significant thought into this.
You're like, yes, it's zero.
No, I have put significant thought into this, but
well, I mean, I'll starting with zero, but
no, I was going to say I have been averaging since we last kind of recorded. I've been kind of keeping a weekly average,
mm-hmm.
and I've been about 75 minutes.
Okay,
for me, a week.
Okay,
where have you been, Eric?
I do a half an hour walk every day, and then I do like almost a jog. Fast walk.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a fast walk.
Can you do a fast walk? And anybody who's out there who's doubting, I see him in the neighborhood. It is indeed a fast walk.
Yeah. And then I do 3 30-minute workouts a week.
Okay.
Wow. So you guys are all massively outclassed.
What about you,
here.
John Paul?
Okay, so I'm being realistic here and pragmatic. I'm stupid busy, and I've got a million things going on. Realistically, I can do 45 minutes a week. That's what I got. It's the max I can do. Now, 45 minutes a week is attainable because there are weeks where I will unfortunately have to do less than that, but there are weeks where I'll be able to get more than that in. But it's really, I can hit it hard Tuesday evenings. That's my best day to do exercise. So I would say 45 minutes a week average is a reasonable number for me to do. I'm a little bit below that mark for the last 2 weeks, but I have been quite ill.
That, and it's not like there's a major, you know, set of holidays coming up or anything.
And it's not like I don't spend 99% of my free time building junk.
Like tables.
You do also work at a school and walk all over the place, up and down stairs.
And I think
and
that
everything.
Should count. You have an Apple Watch. It keeps track of your steps.
It's not strenuous, but
it's true. And I do, just for people who do track steps, my average steps per day at work vastly exceed 10,000. So
that's great.
10,000 would be a low day for me
yeah.
at my work. It's just the nature of the job. And it is a two-story building, so I am up and down that staircase many times a day. But for the purposes of doing that, that has always been part of my lifestyle. I'm looking to improve on my lifestyle. So the dedicated 45 minutes, that is in addition to a somewhat active lifestyle.
And that's totally fair. I think that the whole idea, though, was we just wanted a baseline of what we're currently doing.
Yes.
So that we can build some sort of rubric, because I think we said that we are going to have 3 trip choices.
Yes.
One where we kind of either kept the baseline or below.
Mm-hmm.
One where we kept the baseline and slightly better, and one where we just hit it out of the park and we're all very good and very accountable to each other, and we're going to reward ourselves quite nicely.
Yeah,
right?
And I think we can go over like the logistics of specifically what that is later on in a later episode, but I think realistically, baseline right now is zero. If I do anything, it's going to be more than what I've done. But realistically, if I were setting a goal for myself, if I told myself you're going to do 45 minutes a week, if I go more than 45 minutes a week, I consider that a win. Hmm. If I'm going less than 45 minutes a week, improvement could be made. If I do nothing, that's a zero for me.
So is 45 minutes your middle tier in your eyes for you?
Yes, I would say anything above. Well, and I think the middle tier needs to be more gracious than that. So. What do you think would be a reasonable tier? I think 45 sits in the middle tier. I think if I can get, I would say that the top tier, like if I'm really proud of myself, if I can get away with an hour a week, if I can get 60 a week, that would be my top tier. Somewhere around 45 would be middle tier. Anything below 30, I would consider bottom tier.
So what if about 35 to 55 is your middle tier? 55 and up is great. And 0 to 35 is you failed, you fat slop.
Sounds completely reasonable. Completely reasonable. Eric?
So I think what I did is something that I can do quite regularly. I don't do it all at the same time necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I do a 15-minute walk in the morning, a 15-minute walk at lunch, and then I do a 30-minute workout.
But you need kind of a different type of workout, because walking is great, good for you. You need to put on some mass.
Yeah, and I don't, that's part of the problem. I don't know if I should take some, whatever that stuff's called, the milk or whatever.
No, I mean, if you want more protein, sure. But I think that I don't know that. So walking is not going to build you muscle, right?
No, but it'll keep me.
It keeps you, yeah, it's cardiovascular and that's right. Important.
Of course, I'm not saying stop that. What I'm saying is that, like, for the cases of this, during this off season, you had said you wanted to chase some speed and you wanted to, you know. So what does that look like in terms of exercise that's going to get you there? And then we can gauge kind of the bottom, middle, high.
Can I chime in on that really quickly? Because I've been looking into this.
Okay. And listeners, if you have some input because you're a dietitian or somebody that works out a lot, feel free to let me know.
And if I'm completely wrong about what I'm going to be saying, I don't mind being called out. I mean, you could tell from my beautiful physique that I'm obviously an expert, but...
Email me at eric@fortherecord.com.
What you're after for a golf swing, I mean, anything's going to help with the golf swing, but what you need is basically you talk about slow muscle versus fast muscle. You're looking for fast muscle for a golf swing. You want explosive speed, power, and you want flexibility. And so when we're talking about chasing speed, you and I, when we talk about that we need to build muscle, I don't want to bulk up. I don't need a six pack.
Get it into our system.
Yes, pump you up.
Pump you up.
I don't think that that's what we need to be chasing. I think what we need to be chasing is the speed muscles. Mm. And so when we're looking for workouts, they're generally not high resistance workout. If you're bulking, you're doing extremely high resistance for low reps at slow speed. Whereas if you're doing something for a speed muscle, you're going to be doing a large number of reps with much less resistance at greater speed. I don't know if that makes sense. So sitting on a bench, like bench pressing as much as you can, that's great for bulking, but it's not going to help us with what we're doing. Mm. Whereas a couple of hand weights moving through a range of motion is going to be way better for us. And one of the most fit people that I've ever met in my whole life, he was a rock climber, very, very cool guy. He did 100% of all of his workout routine, and he used zero external apparatus. He used gravity as 100% of everything that was his resistance.
Well, I mean, a human body is a couple hundred pounds.
It's incredible. If you can orient the body in the correct motion, you can work out virtually every single part of your body adequately just using gravity. And so we don't have to get super fancy with equipment or anything of that nature. Don't stop walking. It's really good for you, and it's why you're going to live longer than either of us. However, yes, remember us. Avenge us when we are gone.
Well, to add on to what Jean-Paul's saying, like, you don't need the expensive equipment. So if you do want equipment, though, there is some. So let me tell you my setup that I have in my office. I found, you know, a stud in the wall, and I put four, like, D-rings that I screwed into the studs. And then I have carabiners, and I bought an elastic set that goes from 10 pounds up to 50 pounds in elastic bands. It's like $20 on Amazon.
Okay.
And I grab like the 50-pound elastic band, and I do lumberjacks, which is kind of that motion that Jean-Paul was talking about where it's kind of more of like a swing motion.
Mm.
But you're able to do it kind of quick because, yeah, you're training your muscles. Not only that you want them to grow, but that you want them to be used to that fast, explosive motion.
Yeah. Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I'll have to share the workout routine that I found using these elastic bands because I do it in my little office and, you know, I feel great when I'm done. But where I need to add is the walking and the cardio and the jogging. Yep. I need to add that in.
Yeah.
Or you can come walking with me.
Yeah. So also in my setup, and we talked about you coming over periodically if you're free on a Tuesday evening, that would be fine as well. I just have hand weights, and so I've got stuff to enable sit-ups, push-ups, yoga, things of that nature. But what I do for that same kind of exercise is I'm taking the largest of the hand weights, which isn't heavy. I think it's 15 pounds, but I'm taking it behind myself as though it's a golf swing and moving it as far through my range of motion. Once I'm warm and I've done a decent number of reps, I don't want to injure myself, so I don't push it too hard, but I let it kick just a little bit further back and kick just a little bit further forward on each one. And I don't let it become uncomfortable, but it does stretch.
Hmm.
So I'm increasing slowly the range of motion through those back muscles.
Well,
and
that's good too,
because
how many times do we get on the range and we're just kind of like, oh, I can't move.
Yeah.
My favorite is I also have, like, you know, those, you know, 10-pound medicine balls, and I have to balance on one leg. and toss it between my two hands,
mm-hmm.
it's all about the core strength, because yeah. strong core, good stability, that'll help too.
Yeah. And when you watch professional golfers on TV, they have these beautiful buttery swings.
Yeah.
The ones that make me the most sick are the ladies. If you watch the LPGA tour, just, it's pure butter. It's so smooth. It's so controlled.
That makes you sick, huh?
It's they're so good. It's insane. But when you look at an amateur golfer, your classic Saturday or us, if you, you know, probably this winter, people will get an opportunity to actually see our swings and then they can critique us for real.
Yeah.
But almost all amateurs universally, our swings are really armsy. We don't engage the body the same way. We don't use the ground the same way. And it's because the golf swing, those guys make the golf swing look natural. There is nothing natural about a golf swing. There is nothing about the classic golf swing that the human body does naturally. If you take somebody who's never swung a golf club and tell them what the perfect golf swing is supposed to look like, it's an unspeakably awkward movement. None of it comes naturally. We build it into ourselves over time. Those guys make it look so effortless, and those ladies make it look so effortless because they have this tremendous flexibility and they've done so much work to get that to be smooth. And that's why when you look at an amateur swing, you're like, "Yeah." So I will always have an amateur swing. People will always want to vomit when they look at my golf swing. But if it could be, even if it isn't a ton faster, if it's more controlled, that's a huge win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So to wrap up kind of this segment for this episode, here's what I think we do. So we kind of have general guidelines for what our ranges can be, and I think that's great. We can finish those offline. What I think we need to do by our next episode when we record and come back together is have our three destinations.
Okay.
Of what our tiers of where we're going to go.
And be transparent with your significant other as we yes. create these plans so that we are realistic when we get back here. Because it'd be very easy for me to be like, let's go to Dubai. And then
St. Andrews.
And then later be murdered. So, oh no, my wife would let me do St. Andrews if she could come. There's well, no
and
question.
And that's the thing.
She'd go back tomorrow.
I think we may end up, you know, wrapping this around family and, vacation, and that's totally fine.
And I think we should. I think regardless of what the destination is, we should plan on potentially it being a family trip.
Okay. All right. For our next segment, we're going to be bringing in a little harmony into our lives.
That was not harmony.
You do realize that any two notes constitute a harmony.
Disharmony.
All right. Anyway. So we're going to go over our a little thought that Cody had. What is your favorite holiday song?
Yeah, just it's the holiday season here.
It's the holiday season.
So whoop-de-doo. By the time this drops, it might be a little bit past, and people will probably be holiday songed out. But, you know, I've been listening to a lot of holiday and Christmas music. And there's so much out there that it is just really easy to find a different mood of something to listen to, even though it's still holiday music.
Yeah.
So I'll kick us off. One of my favorite holiday songs, when I hear it, it just immediately puts me into the holiday spirit, is Mannheim Steamroller.
Mm.
And it's Deck the Halls. The whole like synthesizer. I don't know.
That was a great impression. Like, yeah, that was good.
I'm pretty certain I could have guessed that about you.
Really?
Knowing what I know about you. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that plays.
It stems from growing up. Like, my dad had, you know, a cassette tape that was holiday hits. And every time
holiday hits.
It was right around the end of Thanksgiving, he would put it in the cassette player in the family room and play it. And that was the first song on it. And I was like, oh, we're getting ready for Christmas. Mannheim Steamroller. Yeah. So it just always has a special place in my heart. And so if I ever want to like get holiday pumped up, that's what I listen to.
Hmm.
All right. John Paul, go for it.
I'm very traditional in my taste for holiday music. I don't know. The other day I listened to the iTunes Essentials Holiday. I don't know how some of those songs could be qualified as essential.
Yeah,
they're awful. Some of them are awful. We're here in Salt Lake City. The formerly known Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which now is called the choir
at Temple Square.
The choir at Temple Square. That's correct. I have many of their previous Christmas performances. They do a huge Christmas thing every year, and just the classic stuff that they do, choral music, big orchestrations. For me, that's what just tickles
my Christmas
spirit.
You're an old school,
very old school spirit, man.
Okay.
So we always put those on in the background when we're decorating our tree and decorating our house, and that for me is what tells me that Christmas is near. And boy, I love that stuff.
I have a follow up question, but I want to go to Eric first. But I just don't. I want to put a pin in that just for a sec. But Eric, what about you, man?
I want to see what you guys would guess.
It's not the Jackson 5.
No.
Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, that's not the one.
See, I know the kind of music that you listen to.
Yeah, you do.
And you know, for the most part, it's pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a fabulous version of Carol of the Bells that's been reorchestrated for the Imperial March.
Oh.
I'll bet you like that.
But I mean, like, Eric is not a...
Not a popular music guy.
Yeah, you're not a Mariah, like, no. you know, that's not your style at all.
No.
I just had an image of Eric in the shower with a shampoo Christmas. Party, like,
where are you, Christmas?
Yep, that's me.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think that would happen.
This is a tough one. My initial guess is I don't know if you listen to a lot of holiday Christmas music.
So that's a good guess. That's actually pretty decent. With my kids, I do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This last year, I have stopped listening to music almost entirely.
Really?
I don't know why. I just can't get into it anymore. I just don't care. But before that, my favorite was Gabriel's Message, sung by Sting.
Oh.
That's a deep pull. It's probably on Apple's.
Okay, hold on. Is that the one where it's like the angel Gabriel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think I know that one.
Yeah.
Terrible impersonation. Yeah, I've heard that one
with Sting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. He also does one that's the I Saw Three Ships, also sung by Sting. Hmm. That one's another one of my favorites.
That seems your style. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
My family, we would listen to some interesting music while putting up Christmas trees, and those are some of my favorites.
I know what you're talking about, though, when you say you don't listen to much music, because I used to have just like music always going when I was working.
Yes.
And it was like background noise. Now it's just silence.
Yep. Same.
And it's just working and it's boring. And
you two
maybe
are
I need
making
to...
me sad.
I'm a little, yeah, I don't know how.
I love music.
I do too, but I just, I don't know. There's times when I'm like, oh, I should be listening to something. Oh, I don't want to spend the time to find out what to listen to.
Well, yeah, and I used to put on tunes to like mow the lawn. I'd put in earbuds and stuff. And I just, when I'm doing it now, I want something new that excites me, and there's just nothing new that excites me.
I used to spend hours building playlists to listen to and be excited and just explore new music and everything. And I don't do that anymore.
You want to?
This is turning into a big downer, guys.
Do you know what I think the problem is? I think a lot of the music genre has turned to a lot more rap and country.
R&B. Lots of R&B.
It's not something that I have ever gotten into. So what I used to listen to is just fading away and there's nothing to replace
it. That doesn't bother me as much. But yeah, I think there's definitely a little bit more of the R&B elements making it into pop culture music. But I've never been a big pop culture music kind of guy. For me, it's the time. And also generally when I am listening to music, it's in my car. And the majority of the time that I'm driving somewhere in my car, I have my family, including my 6-year-old son. And so we listen to kids' music.
Yep.
I have spent a lot of time thinking about, though, because I've often wondered if it's just an old man shaking his fist at the clouds, like we all think that new music is garbage the older we get. But I don't think that's the case. I actually think that new music is not as good, and I've been thinking very hard about why, and I think it has everything to do with streaming, because no artist out there of any note is looking to make albums. They're looking to make singles. They're not looking to make albums. They're looking to make singles.
Well, and they
and
have,
I have
their
I have always
their
been a
algorithm
guy,
yeah. about what
this is what I want to hear
kicks off, and so they're doing the same cookie cutter thing over
I've,
and yeah. over.
I've always been the guy who likes the less popular song on the album. Do you know what I mean? Like the main play on the radio song, it has never been my favorite song.
No, no.
On the album, and now that seems to be all they're producing. A perfect example. They have turned it around. Their new album's much better, but Coldplay is a perfect example. Coldplay, in the early part of their career, extremely wide variety of musical sounds on those albums. Very varied music. Brilliant stuff, especially the B stuff, like the down near the bottom of the album stuff. Totally brilliant. And some of their newer stuff, it just sounds like a collection of 12 singles that are just trying to hit the top of the charts as hard as they can. And it just... it doesn't appeal to me.
That resonates with me really, really well, John Paul, though, because my favorite song of all time, my favorite song across all genres, all bands of all time, is a super obscure song by a relatively obscure band that nobody's heard of. I mean, if you know me or any of my circles or know anything about kind of pop punk culture, like MXPX is the band. They had their heyday. I love the Aquabats, but MXPX was like my favorite band forever, and my favorite song of all time is just some throwaway song, self-serving with a purpose, on one of not even their mainstream like popular album, but it just something about it that I love. They never played it in concerts, like it never gets requested or anything, but it's just, I don't know, there's something about that. I'm like, this is my song.
See, and I'm the same way. My favorite band of all time is Muse. Their newer stuff, there's a couple of songs that I'm okay with. I will listen to their entire first albums, like their first three albums all the way through, and they're just beautiful. It reminds me of, have you seen the Queen movie?
No,
with,
I have not.
With Rami Malek?
Yeah, as Freddie Mercury? No.
No, well, at one point, they're talking to their record label, and they're like, they talk about how they have a plan for songs, and Queen's like, we're not going to do that. We're going to do Bohemian Rhapsody, and the record label's like, nobody wants to hear that. And they're like, we will not follow an algorithm. We're going to do our own thing. And I feel like that's what a lot of the emerging bands start to do. But then they follow that record labels. They're just trying to make money at some point. And it makes me sad.
And I would love to indict them for that. But if some record label company said, behold, a giant pile of money. It's like Montgomery Burt. Look.
Right.
Look, Smithers, the giant pile of money and a very stupid man are still here.
Real Big Fish wrote a song, you know, sell out with me. Let's do it. Let's make our money.
Do it.
Let's make our money and go.
Okay, can I flip this question?
Yeah.
What's the worst Christmas song that you hate more than anything?
I can tell you mine right now.
Go for it.
Elvis, Blue Christmas.
Christmas. Mine's not far off.
Mine's
Paul McCartney simply having a...
Really?
I hate it. Oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I can't stand that song. I hate it so much.
Mine's pretty...
Why? Can I... Simply... I don't want to leave you hanging.
It's very repetitive.
It is. I actually read a really funny note online the other day about that song. They're like, oh yeah, that song that Paul McCartney wrote when he was trying to figure out what all the buttons on his synthesizer did.
Yeah, like... If the Beatles hadn't already broken up, that would have done it.
Wow. So how does that feel compared to John Lennon's and Yoko Ono, War is Over?
Sounds pretty painful.
They're both pretty bad.
Well, the problem with the McCartney one is that it gets played everywhere you go. It is a ubiquitous song.
Okay, sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
Mine's pretty stereotypical. It's Last Christmas.
Last Christmas,
I gave you my heart.
I hate that one.
That's out. That's pretty awful.
That is the worst Christmas song.
Have you seen the movie Last Christmas?
I don't know.
Don't watch it.
You know what movie my kids have been watching lately that I... It's the... what's his name? Tim Burton or Tim Allen. The
Santa Claus.
They've watched 1, 2, and they're begging to watch 3. And I'm like, I can't do it. They're so... bad.
You know, it's kind of funny.
They're fun for kids.
Well, and
it was funny because we started the second one and they introduced the principal, which I don't know if you've seen the second one, but he needs to find a Mrs. Claus. And as soon as they introduced the principal and she's all grumpy, I was like, She's going to be Mrs. Claus. And my wife was like, no, they wouldn't do her. And then, sure enough, it wasn't. She's like, you called that within the first 5 minutes of the show.
Has your wife not seen this movie?
No, I hadn't either. I hadn't seen the second one.
Really? Have you ever seen the third one?
No, and I don't want to.
I watched
the first one.
Run fast, run far.
I watched the first one decided I didn't need to see any more.
Movies don't get much worse than the third one.
It's pretty bad. Can I tell you guys, guilty pleasure? I'll watch all three of those and the TV series that they made.
There was a TV
series? You're kidding me.
Because do you ever watch something?
I don't know I can sit next. Do you hate watch it?
Do you ever watch something that you know is terrible and you can appreciate it for its terribleness?
Yeah.
It's kind of that. It's
the lost skeleton of cadaver.
I have two.
that's purposefully yeah. that bad.
Yeah. I have two categories of shows that are generally. I have background shows where I'm in the middle of something and it's nice to have something on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have shows that I want to intently watch. This is firmly in the background show category where the cringe moment comes on and you look and you're like, ha, and you can laugh at it, right? It's fine. It's cheesy. It's dumb. It's stupid. But you know it is.
I have found a new holiday movie for you two, though, as a recommend, because it came out a couple of years ago. And I heard like four or five people saw it and they all said that they hated it. And so I didn't try it. And somebody really wanted to watch it at my house the other day, and so we put it on. It was an Apple Plus original. It's called Spirited.
I love that
and
show.
Aaron saw that.
Will Ferrell and
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, and it's fabulous. It's Ryan Gosling.
No, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Well, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. It's a great take really on the Christmas good. Carol.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's wonderful.
I liked it.
Okay. Good afternoon.
So. Good day. Isn't it good day?
No, it's good afternoon.
Is it good afternoon?
Good afternoon.
So we have did we hit all three of the terribles? We did.
Yes.
And yeah.
And they were terrible.
They were terrible.
And now it's time for a Talk Nerdy to Me. All right.
What do we got?
This is one that I came up with. If you could design a golf course with Santa, assuming magic is involved, in the North Pole, what would you do?
I think that I would love to have some sort of tee shot that involves portals.
See, what I was thinking was an elevated tee box. You have snow off in the distance. You've got a frozen lake that you're going to be hitting over. The aurora borealis, every time you go to hit off, activates. And you've just got this beautiful shot with tons of Christmas trees all lit up, all lining the sides. The bunkers are snow bunkers, but it's like sandy snow, so it doesn't...
Solid snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
I have only one thing to add to that. I demand that the flagstick on the 18th hole is, in fact, the North Pole.
With
a candy cane stripe.
Yeah, candy cane stripe. Yep. Classic. North Pole. All the other ones can just be like giant candy canes, but the 18th has got to be the signature
the North
hole.
Pole.
It's got to be the North Pole.
So where I was going with the portals as well is that, you know, everyone knows that the only way that Santa can travel as fast as he does is, you know, leveraging portals and wormholes to kind of rip through time and space to get to everywhere. Could you imagine that, all right, I'm going to tee off in Alaska, and I'm taking my second shot in Dubai, and my third shot onto the green is up at the North Pole.
That could be cool. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what else would be nice, going back to your ripping up time and space thing? Presumably, if this golf course existed, the tee sheet would be just an infinity mark, right? Because you're not burning any time while you're golfing it.
Does that ruin the point of golf?
So there's always going to be a tee time available.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a win to me, right?
So you don't have to worry about getting on the tee sheet. You get to play at exotic courses.
And presumably, being extremely isolated, you're not going to run into any other golfers.
And the best part, at the turn, you get a nice, you know, cookie with a glass of milk.
Sure.
Hot chocolate.
The problem is that if you get stuck with a fourth, he's probably an elf, and he's probably been playing golf since golf was a thing.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to own you.
I don't mind playing with really good golfers. I feel like it elevates my game. I've played with some pretty good golfers, and it's made me play better. And then
I agree with you, but I think if a 3-foot elf stood up and outdrove you, I think it would bother you more than you'd be willing to
just
admit.
Just makes me think of the internet invitational.
Whack.
He's an angry elf.
Angry. Call me elf one more time.
But do you think if you were playing on a... So you, say you head out and you land on a frozen lake. Is that considered in the water? Or are you able to walk out if you're brave enough and play it off the ice?
Would you?
I think that if you... could get out there and get a club on it. Sure, you can hit it out of water right now and not be penalized a stroke.
There are YouTube videos of guys playing here in Utah at Tony Finau's home course.
Oh, up in
and it's okay. Relatives him. I don't know how they're related, but they do go out on the ice of the pond and strike balls off frozen water, and then quite hilariously break through after they've struck the ball.
Oh, geez.
So it's a really good video. See if you can track it down. It's quite fun. Man. They're very cold when they get out. I don't know it was worth the strokes. I think I'd take the loss.
But
ball.
In the North Pole, it's going to be frozen enough. It's probably not going to break, right?
Well, yeah, they have to I have guess like with global giant warming, you never icebreaker know. Ships to even just navigate up there.
That's true.
See, that's the tricky part. You know, not having any land mass up at the North Pole, it's not like Antarctica. You know, there's not land there. So maybe you just got to dig deep enough and to get into like Santa's magical lair to where you can have his indoor salmon play.
I just had this image of you sinking a putt and you're like, yes, birdie. And then you go to pick up your ball and it's like an infinity hole that goes down to the ocean. Like every time you finish a hole, you lose your ball.
Oh, terrible.
You would hate it. You would hate losing balls.
I'd just pick everything up. I'd say, it's a gimme. You get up and move on to the next hole.
You have a job abandonment issues. You would never not sink a putt.
Oh, that's true. That would does it bother me more to not finish the hole or to lose the ball? I've got the solution. I'm going to get a couple of sleeves of Top Flights, and then I'll pick up my ball, put down a ball marker, pretend I'm cleaning it, put down a Top Flight, and bang it into the hole. It's the best of both worlds.
Which, in a regulation game, would be a disqualification.
And probably land me on the naughty list.
Yeah,
it's not true. Like I can lie to the man in red
about that. How good do you think Santa is at golf?
Oh, he's insane.
Well, he's
he works one day a year. I mean, he works hard. He earns his dough. But, like, what's he going to do with the rest of the time?
The elves make the gear, so he's got
I'll bet he plays with Tiger, like, 2 or 3 times a year.
Probably.
How's it going, Santa? How's it going, Tiger? They're down in Florida. He's wearing shorts.
Down in Diet Cokes and not wearing shoes.
It's got to be.
Did you get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I want to go there because I think the man in red might be offended by that statement potentially.
True.
And I would like things for
our minds all went to the same place.
We're going to say that is Johnny Boy's, you know, role model. He just falls quite short.
Yes.
We love you, man.
I'm a Santa fan. I love Santa.
Yeah.
And he would be a great golfer. Big guy like me. I got a beard. I hope to be as good as him one day.
Yeah, he's got game. He's got game.
You can make a good mall Santa if you put on it and grew a nice long beard out.
Yeah.
One day we need to see.
When I need to change jobs and have a new career, mall Santa's here. Where's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Birdie Bev, time for another Birdie Bev.
Last Birdie Bev of the year, gentlemen.
A little sad, little...
So
I'm excited.
Eric was saying at the beginning of this episode that we've had this before, but we didn't rate it. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, it wasn't part of the podcast. It was us as
we've just had it before.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you got it at like the soda shop or something.
Which soda shop?
I don't know. That depends. The one in City Creek.
Okay. Not the one that shall not be named?
Yes.
All right. Let's try this thing out. It looks good. And it's a diet.
It is. So John Paul, go to town.
Yeah, hallelujah. That was one of the other reasons why I picked it.
Gentlemen, to a year. It certainly was a year.
It was a year. It definitely was that.
It started in January, ended.
Diet scale, mind you. I have to remind myself sometimes. I thought I had my number, and then I decided that I got to go back again.
Yeah.
I am locked in.
I am as well.
Okay. I got mine. I'm ready to go.
Eric, why don't you kick us off?
I went pretty high because it's diet. I did 8.5.
Okay.
That's good.
I will give my score next because you're the diet guru, John Paul, so I feel like your score matters.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
Excellent. Okay. You ready for mine?
Yeah.
Diet guru. I gave it an 8.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So we're all pretty good shape. Remarkably similar.
Would you like me to start on my explanation of my being a diet guru? Okay. I will say that it's very pleasant. I like it. I would drink it. I would take it, and it would be one that I would be happy to keep in the fridge if it were readily available. It starts really nice. It's got a good caramel sweetness to it. It's got a nice fizz. It's a smooth root beer. So we talk about kind of the smooth root beers versus the acid root beers. This is a smoother one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't finish with a really crazy diet aspartame taste, which is nice. So it finishes pretty smooth. But there is like something that creates a sour note right in the center of the tongue. And I don't know what it is, but it hits you and it's pretty strong. And this would be a 9.5 if it wasn't for that note. And I don't know what that note is, but it's if you were to distill that, it would be deeply unpleasant. It's not nice.
I am with you 100% because I thought the same thing. I was like, I really enjoy this. Hey, this is great. What is that?
What is that taste in the center of your tongue? It's right in the middle.
And I don't know. I just realized we didn't reveal the root beer of what we chose today.
Oh, go for
yeah.
it.
go ahead.
But this is a premium.
Introduce what we have already passed judgment upon.
Reveal, any notes you want to add before we do our big reveal, Eric?
Nope.
Okay. This is a premium Fitz diet root beer from St. Louis, Missouri.
Ooh.
And so looking at the recipe is kind of what I was curious. I was like, as soon as I tasted that, I was like, I wanted to jump and see what's in this. And a lot of times it's sparkling water from the Dryad Springs of Mount Alaska or whatever.
Does it just say water?
It just says filtered carbonated water.
Oh, okay.
Which is fair. Completely fair.
Yeah.
And then the artificial sweetener, in this case, it's aspartame.
Yeah.
And then caramel color.
Mm-hmm.
And then vanillin.
Yeah.
Not even real vanilla.
That's okay.
It's the fake stuff. And then natural flavors, potassium sorbate, sodium benzoate, which are, you know, preservatives, citric acid, and Kiliwa? Kiaya? Look at that. Look at that very last word.
Yeah. Q-U-I-L-L-A-I-A. Quilia?
Quia? Go to the source of all knowledge. What the heck is that?
Quilia?
Ooh, it is the extract from a soap bark tree.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Well, yeah. It's regularly used in root beer and soft drinks and ice cream.
Mm. It must just be higher concentrate here.
It creates stable foams. Okay, so it's to help with the foaming agent. Interesting. But again, not bad. There's just something.
It has a persistent, undisturbed ring of foam around it. So that whatever stuff is doing its job.
Why did you give it an 8.5, Eric?
Because I don't drink diets very much, and so I don't have a good scale.
I think it's good. I think it's a good root beer.
It was fine. Tasty. Yeah, it was fine. I did an 8.5 because, like, I don't. Yeah, it was.
I think it's fair.
I drink regularly.
I think it's fair that we have a diet scale and a non-diet scale.
Yeah.
For fun, if you found out that this was non-diet, how high would it?
If you had
a general root beer diet versus non-diet, like.
At this moment, I probably wouldn't rate it very high because I feel like I have a soapy flavor in my mouth as an aftertaste. And that was before you read the description. I was like,
oh,
yeah.
Just sitting here.
It's that weird taste, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think overall, I'd give it maybe a 6. But,
yeah.
But on a diet scale, it's an 8.5.
I think that's a fair assessment. I was thinking it loses at least 2 points for that. But compared to some of the other root beers that we've had, like Caldera is just, you know, sugar.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But they used less of it and they still managed to get such a good flavor profile.
Oh yeah, Caldera was good.
And the magnificent that are we've got some back there on the counter that are our Hall of Famers, but the Caldera was amazing. The Yellowstone root beer, great root beer.
Old Faithful.
Really good root beer.
Yep.
Well, that was delicious. Well, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of For the Record. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And I know this will drop in January, but we still nevertheless wish you a very happy holidays. Please follow us on our socials and please share news of our podcast far and wide. We would love listeners, and we would love to hear from you and answer your questions, so please send them our way.
Yeah, the two things I think we're curious at is the chair. If you know of a good office chair, and also, you know, we've talked about having a little bit of Star Trek-esque, you know, in our table, and we've got various nerddoms. What is missing in kind of our studio? If you had to pick a nerd fandom, what do we need to have represented in the studio? Let's see if we can make it happen.
Oh, and one last item of business before we go. I'm sorry, I know we were wrapping it up, but I do need to go here. We would love to hear from you what you think the worst Christmas song that has ever been made is. I'd love to put together a list of really horrible Christmas
music. Oh, I'm sure there's a playlist.
Let's put it on a playlist and just
it would be fantastic. Let's just share it and call it the worst Christmas playlist ever assembled.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a happy new year.